Father, right now, as we come right now to your word, Father, we remember your passage in 1 Samuel chapter 4 of how Eli, who was sitting on his chair, fell and his body was broken into different parts because he himself became an idol to Israel. Lord God, help us not to do that. As we approach your word, may the idols of our hearts fall to the ground and be broken into different parts so that we will hear you, so that we will cling on to you, so we will love you with a deep, deep passion that burns for Jesus. So Father, we pray that you will use your word and do its work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Some years ago, Jim Carrey starred in a movie called The Truman Show. Some of you may have seen The Truman Show. It revolves around a man called Truman, who was a star of a reality TV show. Everybody who watched this program on television knew that it was a reality show. Everyone except Truman, the actor himself. You see, ever since Truman was born as a baby, he was brought to live in this gigantic dome in Hollywood. Inside this dome, there is a little island surrounded by water that looks like the sea. The island is called Sea Haven. To Truman, this was his home. But unknown to Truman, that everybody on this island were just actors. They're here for a reality show. And to prevent Truman from leaving this island that's surrounded by water, the writers wrote into the script that Truman's father died at sea. This incurred a fear in Truman since he was very young that never ever to touch the waters. However, one time, Truman knew that something was wrong. He saw his father, who was supposed to have died, drowned at the sea, coming back to the set. He suddenly saw his father, and then the father disappeared. Then one day while he was walking on this island, he saw a spotlight fell from the sky, because the sky was just a dome, it was to light up the set. And he was very surprised, why could a light bulb fall from the sky? And then he turned on the radio, and the radio was talking about him and every movement he's making, because this was a live program that was being broadcast to different people. So he began to ponder what's actually happening. One day, Truman decided to sail out of Sea Haven, to sail out away from this island, to see what's there, what's out there at the horizon. When the producers realized that Truman was leaving the island, they made a man-made storm trying to capsize the boat, and they wanted to kill him off the live television set. But Truman himself persisted, and he continued on until he reached towards the horizon. When he reached towards the end of the set, he realized it was not the horizon. It was just a canvas. He was inside a dome, and he saw an exit sign there. And then he realized that his whole life was just a show, that his island was just a reality set made for television. His wife was just an actress that they employed to be his wife on the set. Even his childhood friend was not real. They were just actors. Everything Truman thought about was just made for entertainment. For years, Truman thought his life was real, but it was not. Satan has a way of making us think that this life is real and all there is. I have a relative who lives in Singapore who only attends church maybe once a month, sometimes twice, sometimes no times. Would she read the Bible? Oh, only on special occasions, but not really. She really doesn't care much for the Word of God. She claims to be a Christian, and if she happens to read a passage of Scripture that cheers her heart, praise be to God. If she doesn't, it doesn't bother her. She has a job, she has a house, she has a maid, she has a family. She doesn't feel the need to hear God's Word. If she hears it, it's good. If not, it's for good too. But then just as Truman realized that his life on the island was not real, sometimes God gives us signals that this life is more than there is, that there is more to this life. Signals such as death in the family, retrenchment from work, illnesses that suddenly creeps up on us. They made us realize maybe there is more to this life than we think. Maybe this life is not just about a job, your kids, your family, and money. Maybe there is more. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 3, a time whereby the people of God did not care. They were like my relative in Singapore. They have good jobs. They have their own economy that was running. They have their own nation that was going on well. They did not even have to hear from God. If they hear from God, it's a luxury. If not, it's fine too. So they were living in such a world. And 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1, which our sister Connie just read to us so lovely, begins this way. In those days, the word of God was rare and there were not many visions. Nobody seems to care. Elijah was not even searching for the word of God. He was just busy sitting there watching his sons have sex outside the temple gates. Then Eli, according to Numbers chapter 4, should have retired over half a century ago. He was still clinging on to his position, making sure that his family gets the glory, get the money, gets the income. He was still unwilling to relinquish and punish his sons. It was a time whereby the vision of God was rare. The word of God was rare. Who cares? If God speaks, wonderful. If God doesn't speak, life is as ordinary. Then we read in verse 2 also that one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that his eyes was growing dim, like a lamb that is growing dim, was about to be puffed out. Here Eli was not only just physically old, but spiritually his eyes was already getting dim, perhaps a signal of his heart being close to God. He was like a lamb, a dying lamb, ready to be snuffed out. So it was a very, very sad situation, what we have here in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Everybody was just doing their own thing. And if God speaks, God speaks. If God doesn't speak, life is just as ordinary. But not God. How do I know that? Verse 3. The Lamb of God had not yet gone out. In verse 3, it describes Samuel's eyes has already gone out. He's already dimmed. He was old. He doesn't care. I'm about to leave this world. Who cares? Who cares what's going on? But the Lamb of God has not gone out. God has not given up on this hopeless situation. And chapter 3 is going to mark a turning point in the book of Samuel because God is about to do something. Chapter 3 begins with the words, in those days the word of God was rare and there were not many visions. It was a time whereby people were closed. Everything was rare. But how is the chapter going to end? It's going to end in verse 15. Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of God. It's going to end as if Samuel woke up, opened up the doors to the house of God and allowed the word of God to just flood out. So from a time of famine, the chapter is going to end with Samuel opening the doors of the house of God. And what is God going to do? God is going to speak in such a way that all the years, verse 11, all the years of Israel will tingle. There will be a harvest of God's word. And as soon as the chapter ends, we read in chapter 4, verse 1, that the word of Samuel came to all Israel. From a time of famine, that chapter 3 is going to begin. Chapter 3 is going to end with a harvest that God's word is going to be so evident that every year in Israel is going to hear. And how will God do that? And that's what we want to focus our attention on. How will God cause a situation that is a famine to become a harvest? A situation where God's word is rare to become a situation where God's word will make every year in Israel tingle. How will God do that? Two things of this passage. Number one, we need God Himself to reveal His word to us. We need God Himself to reveal His word to us. If you read 1 Samuel very carefully, you will notice something very interesting about the priest Eli. Every time Eli is mentioned, he's always outside the Lord's house. In chapter 1, for instance, when Hannah came crying for a baby in chapter 1, verse 9, because she couldn't get pregnant, so she came to the temple to pray for a baby. Where was Eli? Eli was sitting on his chair at the doorpost, at the outside of the Lord's house. In chapter 2, we are going to meet Eli again. He's going to be where? Outside, at the entrance of the Lord's house, there he will watch his sons have sex with women. He was again outside the Lord's house. Now in chapter 3 again, we're going to read something very interesting about Eli. Verse 2. One night Eli, if you have your Bibles, you need to follow along. This is a very interesting text. Of verse 2. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming weak so that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. We are told that he was lying down in his usual place, not sure where he was, but we know that he's not inside the house of God. How do we know that? Because Samuel was in the house of God, so he must be outside the house of God. Because verse 3 tells us where Samuel was sleeping. Verse 3, the Lamb of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of God where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel himself was lying inside God's house. Most likely Eli at this time was lying again outside. It was as if God was trying to call Samuel inside. Eli was so out of touch with the spiritual reality of the time that he was always on the outside. But now God's about to change the situation. And the very first thing that God wants to do is to call people inside. And Samuel, who was inside the house, God called him. And what does God do to him? Verse 7. God begins to call him, but Samuel did not know God. Why? Verse 7 tells us, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord because the word of God has not yet been revealed to him. God needs to draw us to himself and uncover. The word reveal means to uncover his word to us. By our own strength, we will not be able to love and hear God's word. By our own strength, we'll be just like my auntie in Singapore. She has no desire to hear God. She has no desire to come to church. If you ask her to come to church, she'll say, oh, it's boring. You've asked her to read the Bible. No, it's boring. I don't understand. We need God himself to draw us near. Where was Samuel this time? He was inside the house of the Lord, and he was lying where the ark of God was. And the reason why he did not know and recognize God's voice is that God had not yet revealed his word to us. A love and a desire for God's word comes when God reveals himself and his word to us. So we need to think about this ourselves. If you have never had any inclination in your heart to hear God's word, could it be that you do not know God? That God has not yet opened his word to you? It's a serious question to ask. Many people just assume that you are a Christian, but you have no desire to know God, and you have no desire to improve, and you have no desire to learn more about him. And we need to seriously ask ourselves, is it because God has not yet revealed himself to you? Because if God has revealed himself to you, there will be that desire to want to know him. There is a story, a real story that happened in 1997. There was a fire that destroyed a home in Philadelphia in the U.S. The fire was so fierce that it consumed the entire home, but it also killed off a woman's 10-day-old daughter. The 10-day-old daughter was Delama. That's the name of the daughter. But there was something strange about this fire. After the policemen and the firemen put out the fire, they couldn't find the body of this 10-day-old baby Delama. They couldn't find her body. So they presumed that Delama had died in the fire. The mother of the baby cried her eyes out, but life had to move on. 6 years later, Delama's mother and her own sister went to a birthday party. At the birthday party, Delama's mother was watching the 6-year-old girl singing. Suddenly, Delama's mother began crying. Then sister dragged her aside and asked, why are you crying? It's just a 6-year-old girl singing. Was that Delama's mother said, that 6-year-old girl is my daughter. You are crazy. Delama died 6 years ago in a fire. No, she's my daughter. I can recognize her voice. But she was only 10 days old, the sister said. No. A mother remembers and will never forget her baby's voice. Whether she's 6 years old or 60 years old, I will still remember my baby's voice. That's my baby. the sister thought the mother had gone berserk. Later, Delima's mother, before she left the party, was clever enough to get a few strands of hair from the six-year-old singing girl. She gave the strands of hair to the police and asked the police to do a DNA check to prove whether her instincts were right. She told the police the story, and subsequently, the Philadelphia police confirmed that the child was in fact Delima, her own daughter. You see, apparently on the night of the fire, Delima had been kidnapped, had been raised by another lady who so wanted a baby. And she was in fact the one who started the fire to cover up her crimes. So after 6 years, and the baby was only 10 days, not even 10 years old, 10 days old, and the mother could still recognize the voice. Why? Because this baby belonged to the mother. If you belong to God, you will want to hear His voice. You will know His voice. You will long for His voice. You will have a deep passion that I cannot go on without hearing from Him. If you never wanted this reality, we need to do a reality check here. Maybe it's because you do not know the Lord. God needs to uncover His word to us. Secondly, not only if we want to hear God's voice, that God needs to take the initiative to uncover His word for us. But secondly, God will use trials and waiting to make us long for His word. Did you notice something very strange when God called Samuel? God called Samuel how many times? Three times. And Samuel still did not recognize it was the Lord. Three times Samuel thought it was Eli calling him. Look at verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli says, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Why does the Bible tell us this repeated ignorance on Samuel's part? God calls him, doesn't understand, thought it was Eli. God calls him again, doesn't understand, thought it was Eli. Why? This is going to be the theme of 1 Samuel. God is going to speak many, many, many times, but people are not going to hear His voice. They are going to hear the voice of human beings louder than God's voice. It's very interesting that when Samuel heard the voice, the first person he thought of was a man. Because that's how we think. We would love to hear the voice of a human being rather than God Himself. And God has to be patient to make us go through times of testing, times of waiting, one after another, before we finally catched on. This is going to be a huge theme in the book of 1 Samuel. Because in 1 Samuel, we're going to read a very important character called David. David, by chapter 16, the very first thing that God ever said to David was, "I'm going to make you king." And God's not going to just say it. God's going to ask Samuel to anoint David with oil and going to make public that David was his anointed king. But is David going to listen? No. Again and again and again, David doubted God's promise. Remember when David was in the city of Gath with the king Achish? David here was not yet king, but he was seeking refuge because Saul was hitting after him and was trying to kill him. And so he went to this Philistine city and he wanted to find refuge because he was so scared that people was trying to kill him. And so he was hiding in this city of Gath, which is interesting. It's the same city where Goliath came from, which he defeated some chapters before. And he went into the city and was so scared. And the king of Achish said some sarcastic words to him. Immediately, what happened to King David? He crumbled. He was so scared that he pretended to go crazy. He made marks on the doors. He let saliva fall all over his beard. Why? Because he was scared that King Achish, the king of Gath, would kill him. He would rather listen to the words of a pagan king than God himself. And it took many, many years, many, many trials, many, many years of waiting before finally David got it. When did he get it? Just before he died. One of the most powerful, powerful passages in the scriptures are the final words of King David in 2 Samuel chapter 23. I would love this passage to be read at my funeral. My favorite passage. What happened? It's only after all the trials, all the waiting, all the running, all the scary moments that David was so scared of, David finally realized how foolish he was. Because all the while, God has already promised that he would be king. Nobody will kill him. But he doubted. Only towards the end of his life, when he was about to die, what did he say? If you're a dying man, you will not say frivolous things. You will say the things that mean the most to you. Like if you're going to die tomorrow and your family or the church asks you to give your final speech, you will make sure that you say the most important things. So 2 Samuel chapter 23 is his most important speech, that all the most important lessons David learned. And what was the most important thing that David learned? 2 Samuel chapter 23 verse 2. The Spirit of God spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. Took him all these years, all these waiting times, all these trials for him to realize that the most important thing in his life that is God has already spoken through him. But it's just like us, isn't it? When God calls, we don't believe. We don't think that his words are right. We rather trust ourselves. And that's what happened to Samuel too. When God calls him, didn't hear, thought it was Eli. God calls him, didn't hear. God calls him, didn't hear. God sometimes will use trials and times of waiting to make us realize that the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. That God is so close to us, but yet we are so overwhelmed by fear. All of this takes learning. You will not exalt this. I will not exalt this right now. It takes trials. It takes pain. It takes broken hearts. It takes waiting. So when you are waiting for God, cherish those moments because God is teaching you to recognize his voice. Are you waiting at this time? Maybe you're going through a trial at this time that's very difficult for you to go through. Take it as God's way of teaching you to hear his voice. It took David that long. And David was a man after God's heart. What about us? I hope I can be able to say that before I die. That the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me and his word was on my tongue. God is so close. God's on my tongue. Ooh. A young man went to a jewelry store and told the jeweler, I want to learn how to be able to tell fake gems from real gems. I want to learn about jewelry business. I want to be able to be a great jeweler. Can you teach me? So the jeweler said to him, yes, I will teach you. Be at my shop at 9 a.m. the next morning. So the next morning, this young man arrived promptly at 9 a.m. And the jeweler told him, this is a piece of jade. I want you to hold it. This is jade stone. I want you to hold it. And so the jeweler gave the jade stone to the young man. The young man held the jade stone while the jeweler went on cutting his own work and doing his own stuff. It was the end of the day and the young man and the jeweler said, now you can go home. The following morning, the young man arrived again promptly at 9 a.m. He was told again to hold the jade stone. On the third day, he was told to do the same thing again and again. After a week, the young man was fed up and says, Master, I'm not here to hold stones for you. I'm here for you to teach me about jewelry. You will learn, the master said. Several days later, the young man's frustration mounted. One morning, the jeweler came and told him again to hold a piece of jade stone. The young man had enough. Enough is enough. He came here to learn not to hold pieces of jade stones. However, the young man, before he complained, The jeweler stuffed a jade stone to him. But the jade stone was different. "This is not the same piece of jade stone," the young man shouted. "Ah, my son, you came here to learn about fake gems and real gems. Now you are learning." We came here to learn about God. But sometimes God's words float above us. It is through the trials and the waiting that we finally realize that is the word of God. Took a lifetime for David, but by God's grace, let's pray it's shorter for us. Father, we come before you this morning. By our sinful nature, we do not hear your words and we do not think of your words as more important. Whenever we hear a word that disagrees with our spirit, we say, "Ah, that's not for me." We would rather depend upon the words of men than your words. We would rather be fearful of King Achish and all the different kings of this world than the King of Kings. We are like Samuel that hears your voice three times but still do not know you and still think it's a man's voice. Thank you for being patient with us, that you do not give us up the first time, but you wait again, 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 until finally we catch it. So God, you are training us in many ways in our various walks with you, just like how you trained David to finally hear your voice, so that in his life, when he makes his final speech, he realizes that God is indeed so close to him. He did not have to be afraid of King Achish. The word of the Lord was on his lips. How foolish are we? The word of God is with us right now. We have the scriptures. We have God's word. Yet we don't turn to it. We will rather listen to what our boss say, the kings of this world say, than your word, and be terrified. It took David that long to finally realize it. God, help us not to do that. Speak, O Lord, speak into our hearts this morning. It's in the waiting, the repetition of life, the silence of the moments, the eeriness of the looming disease, the quietness of the waiting in the hospital bed, that God speaks. And let us not say, is it Eli? Let's say, is it the Lord? No, it's not Eli. It's the Lord. Work in us, Lord God, because our hearts are hardened. Give us hearts of flesh again. May our eyes not be like the eyes of Eli, dim, because we say we're old. We're not learning anymore. Given up. 10 years ago, retired. That's such an evil word. Never use that word. It's not a biblical word. We're always learning and growing. Give us a hunger for your word. Open our hearts and minds to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Deep within my heart, I know you've won. I know. Even in the dark, when I'm undone, I still believe in. I live by faith and not by sight. Sometimes miracles take time. While I wait, I will worship. Lord, I trust you all the same.
Lord, I worship your name.